Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's Shushan Purim. We are starting the last parak of Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, two lines to the bottom. B'nei Ha'ir. So, in Mishnayis, by the way, this is the third parak. For some reason, the order is switched. I'm not sure why. But in Mishnayis, this is the third parak. In Gemara, this is the fourth. Anyway, in many editions. Anyway, B'nei Ha'ir. People of the city, Shemachru Rechova, that they sell the street. We know, we learned in Tainus, that the street used to be a place where they used to gather on Tainusim and bring the Torah out into the street and David and cry and pray in the street. Why did they do that? To show that they were, so to speak, going out into like Galus, Hashem should have pity. Remember, we spoke all about that in Tainus. So the street has some aspect of Kedusha. Right? It has some aspect of Kedusha. It's used for davening sometimes. So if you want to sell the street, you can only buy something that has higher Kedusha. The whole Mishnah is going to be like this, talking about things of higher Kedusha. So, B'nei Ha'ir Shemachru Rechova, if the city sells a street, Shalir, Lochin B'damav Beis HaKnesses, they can use that money to buy a shul. The shul has more Kedusha than the street. Beis HaKnesses, if they sell a shul, Lochin Teva, they can buy an Arun Kodesh. Right? More Kedusha. Teva, if they sell an Arun Kodesh, Lochin Matpichos, they can buy the coverings of a Sefer Torah. That is even more Kedusha. Matpichos, if they sell the coverings of a Sefer Torah, if they sell that, Yichu Svarim, they can buy Svarim. What are Svarim? Rashi says, Svarim are Nevi'im or Ksuvim. Sifrei Navi, that's what Rashi says. The Rambam says it's Chumashim, which Rashi doesn't give that as a list. The Rambam said that the Sfarim here means Chumashim. Right? In the olden days, there was no Torah Shebal Peh. There was only Torah Shebiksav. So, the Machlokes here, Rashi, Rambam, what this means. What Sfarim here are. Is it Chumash or is it Navi? So Turi Evan says that according to each of them, it should be an extra level. Because we're talking about either, according to the Rambam, it's Chumashim, stuck in, and according to Rashi, it's an extra level over here. Because what about Sifrei Navi? And according to the Rambam, what about Sifrei Navi? And according to the Rashi, what about Sifrei Chumash? So you're missing a level. So the Turi Evan answers, according to Rashi, you know why Rashi didn't want to hold that Sfarim here are talking about Chumashim? Because we're talking about things that are in a city. You didn't have to have a Chumash in a city. You didn't have to have such a thing. You had a Sefer Torah. You needed Navi for Haftorah. You didn't have to have a Chumash, which in those days were scrolls. Individual scrolls, Bereishis, Shemot, VeYikra. You didn't have to have such a thing. It would be nice. It could help out sometimes with the learning. It wasn't Mukh. You didn't have to have it. Therefore, Rashi leaves that out. That's what the Turi Evan explains. For the Rambam, it's much more difficult. Turi Evan says the Rambam must hold that Sifrei Navi have the same level of Kedusha as one of the other things on the list. And Turi Evan lines it up with Matpichos, coverings of a Torah. Then Turi Evan says that's difficult because the Shulchan Aruch itself doesn't hold like that, so Rambam can argue on the Shulchan Aruch, he preceded it, but just a little difficult. That's what he said. Okay, that's the Machlokes here between Rashi and the Rambam. Anyway, Svarim, if you sell these Svarim, like Rashi, it's Sifrei Navi, Lochin Torah, you can buy a Sifrei Torah. Aval, Im, Mach, so why, everything, nothing higher than the Torah. Torah is the highest, nothing, the list, now the list is going to go in the reverse order. Right, once you buy a Torah, what more can you buy than a Sefer Torah? Now we're going to go in reverse order. Aval imachru Torah, if you sell a Torah, lo yichu Sfarim, can't buy Sfarim, can't go down. Sfarim, if you sell Sfarim, lo yichu matbechos, you can't buy coverings. Matbechos, if you sell coverings, lo yichu teva, you can't buy a Aron Kodesh. Teva, if you sell an Aron Kodesh, lo yichu beis hakneses, you shouldn't buy a beis hakneses. Beis HaKnesses, if you sell Beis HaKnesses, lo yichu es harachov, you can't buy the street, v'chein b'mos rehen. And the same holds true, even if you have leftover money. What is that? What's the chiddush for that? So the Sfasem says, let's say you sold something for a crazy high price, and you made a killing. Even then, you can't use the extras for chulin, for divrei chol. Okay, that's fine. So we would have probably thought that anyway, but the Mishnah adds on the Chebos or Asayin. The Taz points out that all this only holds true if the item will not go to Geniza. In other words, if the item, the alternative is the item has to go to Geniza, then you can sell something that has less value. That's obvious. But we don't want things going to Geniza, right? So if the alternative is it's going to have to be buried, it's going to go to Geniza, then you can go down in Kedusha. But the Mishnah is talking about where that's not the case, and therefore the general rule stands that Malam Makodesh Velo Maridin. That's why there's a hierarchy. Just sort of interesting that the Ran over here says, based on the Rashi here of Svarim, that the Nevi'im and Ksuvim are equal. Right? However, in Rosh Hashanah, the Ran said, same Ran, that when you're reading the Psukim on Rosh Hashanah, we read Ksuvim, right, Malachi, Zichronos, and Shofros. What do? We read Ksuvim first. Why? Because Malam Makodesh. Right, we want to start off with Ksuvim, then we go to Navi, then we go to Torah, because Malam Makodesh v'lo Maridin. So, but here the Ran says they're equal. So, first of all, the Magen Avraham says the Ran was Chozer over there, and they are equal. Or other Mefarshim say no. The reason why we said Ksuvim are first is because David HaMelech wrote them, and he lived before the Nevi'im. And we said that we had that in Rosh Hashanah. And then Torah is last because of Malam Makodesh. So it's not necessarily a theory here in the Ran about whether Navi and Ksuvim are equal or one's greater than the other. Okay. Next, says the Gemara, B'nei ha'ir shemachru ruchov v'shal'ir, if the townspeople want to sell the street, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Zud Divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi. That's Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi Shita Stum Ta. Who is many times a Stam Mishnah. Many times a Stam Mishnah is him. There's actually a Tosefta Rashi points out that says it black and white, that it's Rabbi Menachem. Ava Chacham Omrim HaRachov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. But the Chacham say the Rachov has no value at all. It's not even in the Parsha here of hierarchy at all. It's total Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Maitaima. Why does he say it does have Kedusha? So he explains, Hol Va'a Mispalin Bo B'Tarniya Sabah Mados. Because many times the people will daven there on a tainus or a maimid. The maimid there is very controversial. Rashi says his Rebbe didn't have that line in the Gemara because there's no mention of the maimid davening in the street. The maimid war when a certain town had representatives of Yisraelim who would go to the Beis HaMikdash, so the rest of the town would hold a yontif. They would fast, maybe. They would have special laning. Doesn't mention anywhere that it was in the street. So Rashi says it must be it was in the street. Where else would it be? In the shul, the two went out into the street. But then Rashi says, as Rabbi said, there's no mention of that anywhere. Therefore, he takes it out. Either way, the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan say, so isn't that true? Isn't that true that they used to go out into the street for the Maimid? So the Rabbanan answered, Hahu akuay ba'alma. That just once in a while. Rashi says, Eina tadir. Once in a while that happened. Once or twice a year. Once in a while. That doesn't give the street any chashivas. This line is used to discuss whether, believe it or not, whether the lobby of a shul has kedusha if you have a minion there once in a while. Like on a Matzah Shabbos, we have two chiyuvim, so we go out into the lobby. So otherwise, it doesn't have necessarily, it's not Beis HaKnesses, it's a lobby. Right? But, how often does it have to be used to give it a certain level of Kedusha, right? So it's Eina Tadir, once in a while, doesn't make a difference. So that's a big discussion among the poskim, like at what point does that Eina Tadir area could become Tadir. Fine, so the Mishnah said, Beis HaKnesses, if you sell a shul, lo kin tevo, you can buy an Aron Kodesh, because an Aron Kodesh has more Kedusha, it's closer to the Torah itself. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, lo shanu el Beis HaKnesses shel kfarim. That was only true of the shuls in the small little villages. Aval Beis HaKnesses shel krachin, but the shuls in the big neighborhood, in the big towns, in the krachin, the big cities, kivan de me'alma asule, since everybody davens there, from all over, Rashi says, travelers, businessmen, passers-by, it's a much more frequented place, lo matu mizavnile, you can't just sell that, dehavile kerab, the rabbim, because it has the status of a rabbim. You just sell something that the rabbim owns. Right? So Rashi says it could be they help pay for it. It could be, you know, they went around for a building fund and they collected from all the people that passed by through traveling and business. So everyone has a share in that. You can't just sell that. Yeah, if you live in some tiny little village and you own the shul, a small membership, that's what the Mishnah was talking about. You can even sell it at all. Here we're saying, can't even sell it. Amar Ravashi, similar, Hai Be Krishna de Masa Machasya, the shul in Masa Machasya, Afagav de Me'alma Asila, even though it's true that it was built by everybody and everybody has a chelik in it, but Kivan da Adaiti Didika Asu, they only come because of me. But I'm the Rav of the shul, they only come because of me. Therefore, Iboina Mazvinina Le, if I want to, I have the authority to sell it. In other words, yes, it's a one wrinkle in what we said before. Yes, it's true that it's a shul of the Rabbim, but it's really all hinging on me, and therefore I could sell it if I wanted to. The rest of the oil, they couldn't. But I could. That's what Rashi said. Okay. Meisvei, now we have a question on all this. Rav Yehuda said, Meisvei, there was once a story, Beis HaKnesses Shel Tursiim, the Beis HaKnesses of the, Rashi says, the copper smiths. A certain shul where the coppersmiths used to feel comfortable with each other and they davened it together. But the key is, Shahi be Yerushalayim, it was in Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim has the status of a krach, it's a big city. Everyone's there. Right? And, Shemachruhu l'Rabbi Eliezer. They sold that shul to Rabbi Eliezer. V'asuba kol tzrachav. And he did whatever he wanted with that shul. V'ha hasam over there, dekrachim havu. That shul, Yerushalayim, is certainly a krach. Certainly, as the status of a big city, it's not going to sell that shul. Didn't we just say that a shul and a krach can't be sold at all because it belongs to everybody? Right? So how can they sell this shul to Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara answers, Hahi bekinish de zutahava. No, that was a very small shul. That was a very small, you passed by, you wouldn't even notice it. It's a very small shul. The inhu avduha. And only they built it. So Rashi said, only they built it. The Mefarshim said, only they raised the money for it. They didn't bother anybody else. It wasn't a shul that was frequented by travelers and businessmen and Oliver Gullim. No. It was a tiny little shul. It was just for them. They built their own shul. And therefore, it had the status of a shul in a small city, and they were allowed to sell it. Similar question, Meisvei, Beis Eretz Achuzaschem. It says in the Pasuk that a house that you receive as an Achuza. So the Gemara says, Achuzaschem, such a house, Mitma Binagoyim. Is possible to have tzaras. The only time you can have tzaras on a house, which is a very rare occurrence, the Gemara says it might not have even ever happened, but the only time it's even possible to happen is if it's a house that you inherited as an achuza, as a Yerusha, when Eretz Yisrael was divided up. The Ein Yerushalayim mitma binagoyim. And Yerushalayim can't get, no house in Yerushalayim can't get tzaras. Can't be. In Yerushalayim, it's not going to happen. Why? Because we're going to explain. This Tana holds that Yerushalayim was not given out to the Shvatim. It wasn't divided to the Shvatim. So therefore, if it wasn't divided to the Shvatim, it's not an Achuza. If it's not an Achuza, it can't have Tzaras. Rav Yehuda says, Ani lo shemati ela makom mikdash bolvad. I only heard that's true. The Beis HaMikdash can't get Tzaras. But a house in one of the neighborhoods? Why not? So, because he's going to hold that Yerushalayim was given to the Shvatim. If it was given to the Shvatim, there is an Achuza there. The Beis HaMikdash obviously wasn't. But it was given to the Shvatim. And if it was given to the Shvatim, it could have Tzaras. So what does that have to do with our discussion? So what do you see? Since Rabbi Yehuda said that only the Beis HaMikdash can't get Tzaras, Bate Knesio to Bate Midrashos Mitamin. But a shul or a Beis HaMikdash in the city of Yerushalayim can get Tomei. Only the Beis HaMikdash not. Right? Amai. How can that be? Ha de Krachim Havu. But Yerushalayim has the status of a Krach. If it has the status of a Krach, that means that the shul belongs to everybody. If the shul belongs to everybody, then the din of tzaras and the din of selling should go hand in hand. Right? Because they go hand in hand. Why do they go hand in hand? Because it's the same underlying principle. The principle is, does it belong to you or does it belong to everybody? So if Yerushalayim is a krach, which it is, then the shuls in there have to belong to everybody. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say only the base of the Mikdash can't get Saras? He should have said every shul can't get Saras in Yerushalayim. Why? Because those shuls don't belong to anybody. They belong to everybody. They would never give it out as an achuza. And if that's true, how could they get Saras? So, that's the question. To answer that question, we're going to just say, Ema, Amar Yehuda, no, what Yehuda meant to say was, he didn't mean to say Beit HaMikdash Belvad. What he said was, Ani lo shemati ela makom mekudash belvad. Now, I'm only saying, you know what's off limits? All the makom kadoshes. Not just the Beit HaMikdash. Every shul, true. Every shul, every Beit HaMikdash, they're all off limits because, you're right, they have the status of a krach, and a krach belongs to everybody. If it belongs to everybody, there was never an achuza. If there was never an achuza, they can't get saras. But he argues on the fundamental principle, which we're going to discuss now, whether Yerushalayim was divided among the Shvatim or not.
So what happens if somebody buys a land?
Yeah.
Somebody and builds a shul on it, and then in the yovel time.
Right. So I don't know the details. I don't remember them. So if the city had a wall, then the sale was final, right? But if it didn't have a wall, it was never final, or vice versa. I don't remember the rules. Right, if somebody sells a building for a shul, and what happens at Yovel? I don't know. I was thinking about that also, because doesn't Yovel revert everything? Or it only reverts sales without a wall, right? And if it's a wall, the sale, you have only 1 year to buy it back, right? Isn't that the rule? And Yerushalayim obviously has a wall. So what would happen? Then it's all, I don't know. Maybe then we're not talking about such a case, right? Because then maybe the sale will be final, and then it could be an achuza. I don't know. We're going to have in a minute about even renting stuff in Yerushalayim. So, but my kamiflagi, what's the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama? So, Tanakhama Savar, he holds, Lo nechlako Yerushalayim l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was not given over to the Shvatim. So, the Chazon Ish points out, of course it was. Obviously it was, because the whole city, every part of the city, every part of Yerushalayim was divided up. The only question is, even if we're going to say it was given to Yehuda and Binyamin, the Pesukim say that. The question is, are they only the trustees for the rest of the Klal Yisrael? But it's not theirs. Yes, the actual spot was we're going to have now, all this agadata about Yehuda and Binyamin dividing up the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. The only question is, yes, they're just like a trustee. They're holding it for everybody else. But it's not theirs. Or, no, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no. Nechlako Yerushalayim l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was given to the Shvatim, absolutely. But Beis HaMikdash and Shuls are taken out of that equation. That's what he holds. Dahani Tanoi, and Ubaplukta Dahani Tanoi, and they're arguing in the similar discussion. Tanya, Mahayi Bechalko Shal Yehuda, what was in the portion of Yehuda? So you have to just need a little mental the picture of it in the art school. I think that picture made it more complicated. The Kotel today is in the western side of Yerushalayim, the western wall of the Temple Mount complex. If you go to the eastern side, which today is opposite the Kidron Valley, that entrance there is the Golden Gates, the Shaar Rachamim. Those are closed. That is the main standard gate that they used to use in those days. That's the eastern side. As you walked through those gates, you would reach all the preliminary Azaros, then you'd get to the Azara, then you'd get even closer and closer. The Kosh Kedusha was in the western side. So when you at the Kosel, if you go to the tunnel tours, there's a spot where they believe this is actually where right above you was where the Kodesh Kedusha was. Because it was on the western side. So we're talking about now the opposite eastern side. The eastern side, that's where the entrance, you'd walk in. First you'd be in like a no man's land, which Rashi says it's the Har Habayis. We call it the Har Habayis because we have nothing else to call it. You didn't walk onto the Har Habayis and you're right away in a Makom Kadosh. No, it took a few feet, right? There was a empty space. Then you got to the Chel, then you got to the Azara, then you got to the Mizbeach, and deeper until you come to the Ulam and the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim. So, the Mishnah says, Mahayu b'chalko shel Yehuda, what was in Yehuda's chelek? Harabayas, all that empty space, and halishkos, all the chambers before we're getting to the actual building itself, and the Ha'azaros, and the Azaros. Ezra's Nashim, which is called the Ezra's Nashim, because even women could be there, and then you had the Ezra's Yisrael, Ezra's Kahanim, and the Mizbeach was there also. The outer Mizbeach. And the Ha'azaros, and the Azaros. Then, at that point, then the Chalukah, the Yerusha, switched to Binyamin. Umaha Yibachalka Shal Binyamin, Ulam. Ulam is the building itself, which housed in there was the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim. Ulam, the Heichal. Ulam is like this, Ulam is a long room that preceded the Kodesh. It's called the Ulam. It's really one building, but it's called the Ulam. Ulam, the Heichal. Heichal is the Kodesh. Ubeis Kachi Kedashim, and the Kachi Kedashim also. And, Veritsua Haisi Yatzas, Michalko Shal Yehuda, Vinachas Michalko Shal Binyamin. There was a strip that was really in Yehuda's portion, even though if you would have drawn a straight line, it would have fallen into Binyamin's. What strip is that? So we know the Mizbeach had a Yesod around it, but it only had a Yesod on two parts. On the eastern part, which is where Yehuda's land would end, it was still part of Yehuda's touching the Mizbeach. So the part of the Mizbeach that had a Yesod belonged to Binyamin on the floor. And the part that didn't belonged to Yehuda. So now the Gemara says a very difficult line. Uba Mizbeach Banui. And there the Mizbeach was built, but any part of the Mizbeach that has a Yesod, which was used. In other words, if the area of the Mizbeach didn't have a Yesod, that L-shaped area, they didn't use that. They only used the Yesod down at the bottom. So, but if it had a Yesod and it was being used, it belonged to Binyamin. Uba Mizbeach Banui, v'haya Binyamin HaTzadik Mistar Olah. Binyamin HaTzadik, Binyamin, the man, the child, the Shevet, was upset, b'chol yom, every day, l'vloa. He wanted to include that portion in his chelek. He was longing to have the entire Mizbeach in his chelek. Shenemar, chofei v'lov kol hayom, like we say in Tosaf Bracha, he was longing for it every day. Lefikach, therefore, Zachar Binyamin v'nasa ushbizchan l'shchina. Therefore, Binyamin was zoche to be an ushbizin, to be a host for the shchina. And that's why the Kodesh Kedashim is in his chelak. So the obvious question is, if he saw Baruch HaKodesh, Binyamin, that he wasn't going to get, that the Mizbeach was going to be half in his portion, half not, didn't he also see that the Kodesh Kedashim was going to be in his portion? What do you mean he was longing? Didn't he know? So, a few answers to that question. Some say that the Gros says this, which is very difficult. He was upset, he was longing that it should be in his portion even before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Of course he knew that he's getting the Kodesh Kedashim. But before it was built, he didn't know. That's what he was longing for. The question is, he didn't really get that. Because where it was in Shiloh. So the Gra says that he got that too. Shiloh, Novin, Givon, or Binyamin. Didn't we always say Shiloh is in Ephraim? And aren't they in Ephraim's portion? So I always thought, right? That they cry when Binyamin and Yosef met each other, they cried because the Shiloh was going to be destroyed and the Beit Hamikdash in their portions. So maybe he means the whole Bnei Rachel. Maybe he means that. At least it'll be in Ephraim's portion as opposed to his own. Maybe he means that. The Rebbe Bechai says that what he was upset about was, will the third Beis HaMikdash be in his portion? The first two he knew. What about the third? Is he going to be Zocha for that? Some say, but Pashtus, he just didn't know like exactly how it was going to look, and maybe it would be carved out of his. Like you see, there's a lot of carving here. Maybe, even though the Beis HaMikdash itself, but where's the Aron going to be? Who said it's going to be in the Kodesh Kedashim? He wasn't sure about that. Why was Binyamin Taka Zocha to the Beis HaMikdash out of all 12? Like, what did he do to deserve it? What didn't he do? That's what, some say he wasn't involved. That's one answer. The Alkut says that. But then what about Reuven? No. He wasn't involved in Mechiras Yosef.
But he couldn't have been.
Why not?
Because he was first.
So the question on that is,
Yosef's,
he was too young. They wouldn't include him anyway.
Right.
But what about Reuven? Reuven also wasn't involved in Mechiras Yosef. So you're going to have to say, this is an additional reason. Besides the five reasons we're going to give right now, plus he wasn't, right? Some say because he didn't bow down to Esav. He didn't bow down to Esav. So the Mepharshim explained, it's not an issue of Tzchar. You get Tzchar because he wasn't born. Right? So they explain that bowing down to Esav, this is the Shushan Purim Vart, bowing down to Esav removes the Shekhinah from your presence. It removes the Shekhinah from you when you have to humble yourself before Edom. Which is why Mordechai wouldn't bow down to Haman. Okay? We say he could have, there's a Tosvos out there that he really could have, and Haman, the Medrash says, Haman even removed the idol and said, Mordechai, bow down to me now. And Mordechai said, I'm not bowing down to you. I'm not having the Shekhinah be removed from me, for you. So Binyamin was the same way. It's not an issue of schar because he wasn't even born. But the idea is he never did it. He never did it, he's Zohar. And there's a Medrash that says, unbelievable Medrash, when the soldiers came to the 12 to the brothers and said, we're looking for the cup. We're looking for Yosef's cup. And they found the cup in Binyamin's bag. What did the brothers think? The Medrash says the brothers thought Binyamin was a thief. And they said to Binyamin, you're just like your mother. She stole the trough from her father, and you're a thief too. And the Medrash says they started hitting him. Well, I can't believe you did this, Binyamin. And if you know the Torah, Binyamin never says a word. He's silent throughout the entire Torah. And Hashem says he was falsely accused. Every other brother's now going to come to his house, to his land, and bring karbanos to me and on his property as a payback. It's an amazing Medrash. That's amazing. Some say that Binyamin was the only brother who was born in Eretz Yisrael, and for that he was zochah to have the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Alkot says also. There's a mashal that the youngest son always takes care of the father the most because he's with him the longest. So Binyamin was with Yaakov the longest. He took care of him the longest because he was the youngest, and as a reward for that he was zochah. Or there's another medrash that when the father comes to visit. So the youngest son never gets any time with the father, because all the other ones are much more assertive, and they get much more time. So Hashem said, I know that you were the most neglected, but I'm gonna make the Beis HaMikdash in your portion. Right. Okay. Those are basically the standard reasons why the Beis HaMikdash is a Binyamin's portion. Anyway, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? Obviously, he holds that the Shvatim were divided up even in Yerushalayim. The high Tana Savul Onechlok Yerushalayim LeShvatim. The other man that holds, it's not true. The Tanya. So we said, even if it's not true, the Psukim say it, but the question is, they're the only trustees. The Tanya ain't Maskirin Batim be Yerushalayim. You ought to rent houses in Yerushalayim. Why not? The nation ain't on Shalayim. They don't belong to you. They belong to everybody. David Rabbi Lazar Omer Aflo Mitos, you can't even rent a bed. Lefikach, therefore, Oros Kadosh Kachim Bali Ushpiz in Notlino Sambizroa. So they used to have a practice that if you were staying in Yerushalayim and you couldn't get money for the bed, listen, still you're living in this house and this guy's staying by you for a week, that the leather, the hides from the karbanos, they used to give to the host as a sort of a payment. At least that much they'll give him. Amar Abayek, Shmarmi, no, we see from here, Urech Arba, it's the proper thing to do. L'mishbak inish gulfa umashcha b'ushpizeh. If you stay by a host and he doesn't take any money from you, at least leave him, Rashi says, a pitcher of drink and some leather, some hides. At least he can get some small payment out of it. Fine. Amar Rava says, everything we said till now about not selling stuff and violating the rule of Malam Makodesh, lo shana el shlo machru shiva tuva here. That's only if the seven elders, the people that run the city, right? Lav Dafka, they're the seven gedolim. They're just the people that run the city. They're the gabayim of the city. They're called Shiva Tuva Ir. They're generally with seven of them. So that's only if it wasn't sold under their authority, the Mayamad Anshe Ir, with the consent of the Olam. But Avomachu Shiva Tuva Ir, Mayamad Anshe Ir. But if the seven elders sold it, the seven leaders of the city sold it with the consent and authority of everybody in the city, then you can even sell that stuff and buy beer. Right? Once it's sold under the authority of the city, it becomes total chulin. And out of that, there's a story. Ravina habi lehahu tila debek kinishta. Ravina had land, and there was a shul on his land. And asa lekamei dervashi, came in front of Ravashi, amalei, mahu lemizre, can I plant it here? Can I destroy that shul and plant there? Zilzivne Meshiva Tuva Ir. Yeah, Bamayamad Anshe Ir. Vizare. First buy it from them. buy it from the Shiva Tuva Yair under the authority, then you can do it. Then it'll go down to Kedusha. So Mefarshim say, what's the Chiddush of this story? We just said that Rava said, you're not allowed to buy it, that if you buy it with, under the authority of the Shiva Tuva Yair, then you can do whatever you want with it. So what's he asking him? What's Ravina asking? So the Ramban says that we're going to have tomorrow, the day after, Rameir says, all that's true, but there are certain things you still can't do with this land. You can't make it into a bathhouse. You know, certain bizayon types of things are still off limits. You can't make it into a bathhouse, a tannery. Certain professions are off limits, even though it was sold under the authority. It's Rameir Shita. So Ravina was asking, what about, I want to be machmir like that, what about, can I use this for plowing? So he told him, yeah, that's okay. That's not on the list. That's what the Rabban says. The Ritva says that Ravina was asking, could there ever be a case where the shul's hefker? It's abandoned. How long has this been lying empty here? I still have to get the authority from them? And the answer was yes, you still have to. Okay. Rory Bar Ava, Havi Kabani Be Kinishta, Havi Ahi Kinishta Atika, there was an old shul, they wanted to build a shul. There was an old shul. Havi Bai Lemistere, he wanted to destroy it. Ulatuye Livne Ukishure Mine, and take the beams and the bricks from the old shul. Valui Lahasam, and bring them to the new shul. Yosef Kami Baile Hadr of Chista. So he went to ask what Rav Chista said. The Amr of Chista, because Rav Chista said about Baba Basra, Lo Lister Beit Knishta Ad Debani Beit Knishta Achriti. You can't destroy an old shul until the new shul's built. So, why did Rav Chista say that? Hasam, you know why he said that? Mishum Shiyusa. Because we're scared you're going to destroy the old shul, and then you're never going to build the new shul. You're going to become lazy, and it's never going to happen. So then now you have zero shul. But Kihai Gavda, but over here, I already have the plans. It's all drawn up. Everything's ready. I'm waiting for the beams. What about now? So the other reason there in Baba Basra, the Mepharshim explained, why Rav Chista might have been upset was because he was worried about that there was going to be no place to daven in the interim. It's a secondary reason. So, what's the halacha? In other words, I got around the pshia issue. It's not going to happen. We're not going to be pshia. We're all gung ho. We're ready. But what about the fact that we're not going to have anywhere to daven? So asar lekamedar of papa v'asar le. He said it's still asar. Why? Because he held like reason number one. He held like reason number two. Right? So you're not going to have anywhere to daven. So he couldn't allow it. Look, Asala Kamed Rav Huna of Asalay. Rav Huna asked it also. Again, he must have held like reason number two. Listen to this. Listen to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, "Ain't so soon." I asked the Rav last night. I said, "What is the whole world doesn't hold like this? Ain't so soon Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to destroy a shul because they live in those Beis HaKnesses Acher to build another one. Shema Yerulahem Ones. Maybe some Ones is going to happen. And Shlo Yevino Ha'achi. You're never going to build it. Ella." First you build it, then you destroy the old one. Mishnah Berurah says, listen to this. V'nimtzu, what's going to happen? You're not going to build another one. V'nimtzu omdim below Beis HaKnesses. You're not going to have a shul. Because you're going to destroy, you're not going to build it. Tafil v'kelohu duchtu l'tzluyi Beis HaMakal. Even if you have somewhere else to dive in. Nami Aser, it's still Aser. You hear this? Now, v'hecha de'ikha od Beis HaKnesses kavua ba'ir. But let's say you have another shul in the city. You have another shul. Sheyachom l'spal sham kulam, and everyone can fit there. Hataz matir, v'hamagen avram oser b'chol gavni. You hear this? There's still a machlokus about this. The ayin b'bir halacha, a long b'bir halacha here, back and forth, back. So I said to the Rav last night, I saw by my roof. So I showed this to him. I said, but how does the whole world, no one practices this. Everyone's makel like the taz. People don't cheshbon all these factors.
At a certain point, you've got to destroy you got to take down the old shul.
So he says, first build a new one. So what if it's in the same spot? Right? What if it's in the same spot?
When you're building on the same site,
right. But it's just very interesting that they don't take it so lightly. Oh, so that's what the Imri Emet says. The Imri Emet says, Hashem would never do it either. So Hashem would never destroy the second Beis HaMikdash if the third one's not, it's waiting. It's waiting there. It's already built. That's exactly what Imri Emet says. Third Beis HaMikdash is already built. All we're waiting for is for us to be ready for it. It's already built. Because Hashem Hashem keeps
the
Torah too.
So the third Beis Hamikdash was built before the second one.
Yes, that's what the Imam said. The third Beis Hamikdash was built before the second one was destroyed. Whatever that means, but that's what he says. Okay. Now, Amar Rava. Hai Bei Kinishta Chilufa Vizvuna. A shul you could rent out or exchange. Sorry, that's mutter. But Ugura, but to lease it, or Mushkuna, or to mortgage it, Usr. It's Usr. Why? My time of the Kedusha said Kai. Because it still has Kedusha, and you're belittling it by taking the Kedusha away. But if you sell it, or if you exchange it, then there's no more Kedusha. Livni, same thing with bricks. Livni Nami, Chalfinhu, you could exchange them. Vizavini, you could sell them. Sure, that's Mutter. But Uzpinhu, Usr. But to rent them, or lease them, that's Usr. Hani Mili Batika, that's only by old ones. Avo Baha Bechadata, but if they're new bricks, less lanba, this issue doesn't apply. Even though that we know that when you set aside something for a mitzvah that has value, that has chashivos, that animili could go to ori beged lebeis. That's where you already weaved the begadim, the tachrichim for a mace. Now you want to use them, you want to wear them yourself. No, they're already set aside for a mitzvah. Aval hacha, but here kitavi la ori dami. The bricks they haven't even they just bought from the lumber yard. The stuff, that's like you just have thread. You're gonna weave it to make a beged. That's so far removed from the mitzvah that doesn't have any connection
raw
to a mitzvah.
Material.
Well, it's just raw material, exactly. Once you already make the begadim, then you're ready to have mitzvah. Once you, I guess, use the bricks in some way, just because you bought them, that doesn't mean anything. It's raw material. Velekel amanda amar, nobody holds that. Matana, what about if you gave a shul as a matana? Pligi barvacha v'ravina. Chad asar v'chad shari. One says it's asar, one said it's mutter. Man da asar is b'hai tepaka kedusha say. That's how you're removing, you're going to give the shul as a gift to someone. Hey, I'm giving you this property. That's going to remove the kedusha. It's a matana. That can't be. Man shari, you know why? Ilav da havi le hana mine, lo havi yav le. Why are you giving the guy a gift? You're giving him the property. He must have done something to deserve it. Don't just stop, give a shul to a person. He must have earned it. Therefore, Hadar Havile Matana Kizivni. That matana is really like a sale. You really sold it to him because he gave back to the shul in some way that you're giving him the building. It must be he deserved it. So it's like a sale. Tadarabara. Tashmishe mitzvah nizrakin are thrown out. Tashmishe, we'll see what that is in a minute. Tashmishe kedusha nignazim. Tashmishe kedusha are nignaz, have to be buried. Right? So I saw Chassidus Shuvart. He says Tashmishe mitzvah in Mizrakin. If you do mitzvos just because it's like part of just Tashmishe mitzvah. You're just doing them without any feeling. I'm doing them, I have to do a mitzvah, I gotta do a mitzvah, what can I do? I have no choice, right? If that's your attitude, Mizrakin. Hashem doesn't care, not interested in that. Hashem throws that out. Tashmishe kedusha. But if you do a mitzvah because it's kedusha involved, and you want to become holy, then nignaz and Hashem is nignaz you. He savors you. Okay, but that's not pashtus. The pashtus means that what are ve'elahei tashmishei mitzvah? What are tashmishei mitzvah? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. All these mitzvahs. So me'ikar adin, when you're done with them, you can throw them in the garbage. That's how we paskin. The Ramah says you should treat them in a more covetic way. Maybe try to find some way of kavod to get rid of them. Not to just throw them in the trash. But they don't have any inherent kedusha. No, not to bury. You don't have to bury them. Only if they have tishmishe
kedusha. Kedusha, is geniza or to bury?
Same thing. That's the same thing. You're going to be geniza means to bury. Or you put them away and right. Ve'elu hei tashmishe kedusha. What are tashmishe kedusha? So we're going to say, what's the difference between tashmishe kedusha or anything that come in contact with holy writing, with ksav. If it comes in contact with ksav, it has tashmishe kedusha. What are those? That's not tzitzis, or shofar, or lulav. Doesn't come in contact with ksav. What comes in contact with ksav? The luskimi svarim, the covers of sifrei Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, the tikshel sefer Torah, the another wrappings of the Torah, the nar tikshel tefillin, the boxes of the tefillin, urtzu ehen, Ritzuo Sehen, the straps, all that has a different. That's a different ball game. Datzichayim, similar. We're gonna have that in a minute. Amar Rava, Mireish Havamina Hai Krisaya. I used to think that the bima, where we lane from, is Tashmish to Tashmishu. It's one step removed. Rashi says because you have a tablecloth, you have a bima cover, and the Torah is put on top of that. But v'shari, therefore, that's no kedusha there. But kiva de chazira de mosvi alayu sefer Torah. Once I realize that not always is that bima cover there. Many times I forget that it's about the cleaner. It's off. So therefore, tashmish kedusha huva aser. It has a different status. Because it's touching the Torah, and therefore it's aser. V'yomar Rava, Meresh Havi Mina High Prisa. I used to think the same thing about the parochas that covers the Aron. The Tashmish and Tashmishu, it's removed. Why? Because the Aron's in there, the Sefer Torah is in there, and it's outside. Kivon dechazina de'ayfile umanchi. Once I saw that sometimes in the olden days they used to wrap somehow the parochas around with the Torahs, then I realized, Sifra Elivai Amina, Tashmish Kedushahu, I realize it has a different status. So if that's true, the Mefarshim point out, how can you keep a Pasul Torah in the Aron Kodesh? It's a different status. It's not kosher. How can you belittle the Aron by keeping in there Pasul Torah? Isn't that a bizarre for the Aron? No, even that. Even if it's beyond repair. That's what the Sefer Hasidim says. Sefer Hasidim says, it's the Sefer Hasidim, the 1200s. Shluchos v'shivrei luchos mudachim ba'aron. The luchos and the shivrei luchos are both put into the aron. They are special. And therefore he says, im yesh sefer Torah b'miksasam karunu mochukim yosim im sefer Torah ba'aron. You can put them in. No problem. And that's how we hold. Right. Vama Rava, hai tevusa. No, I didn't skip. If you have an Aron Kodesh that broke, me'uvda teva zutrusa shari. To make a smaller Aron out of it, that's okay. But kursaya, to make a bima out of it, aser, it's aser. Why? Because a bima is used for a Torah less frequently than the Aron is. Therefore, that's a step down. You can't do it. Rava hypirsa debala. If the coverings of the Torah worn out, lemevde prisa lesifrei shari. To make different kinds of coverings for the Torahs, that's okay. But l'chumash it aser. But for chumash it's aser because that's a step down. Chumash is only one of the five. Torah is all five. Rava hani zvili the chumshi the. Again, different kinds of coverings of the Chumash, the Kamtari, the Sifri, the boxes where Sefer Torahs were held, Tashrish Kedusha Ninu, that's considered Tashrish Kedusha, for Nignazin, and they have to be Nignaz. Pshit, isn't that Pashit? No, Mazatim, I would think, Hani Lav, Lekavod Avidin. That's not done for Kavod. That's only done for the Tiri Ba'ama Avidi. That's only done for protection. Kamash Malan, it still has Kedusha. 30 more seconds. Ha'ibe Kanishta da Yudai de Romi, there was a shul that the Jews of Rome opened up in Mechuza. Ha'vi Pasnach Lea Nduria da'vi Machiz Ba'meis. There was a side room with the door open, and there was a mace in the side room. So the whole shul became Tameh because the Tumah flowed from the side room into the shul. Ha'vi Be Kahani Lamaya Letzli Hasam. The Kahana wanted to come and daven in the shul. And they couldn't come in because there was a mace next door. Asuv Amru L'Rava. So Amru L'Hu. Rava said, you know what? Dalo Tevusa Asuva. Take the Aron Kodesh. That's made out of wood, and move it over. Davile kliyet hasul lemachas, which is a kliyet which doesn't move, and the halacha is v'chol kliyet hasul lemachas in a makabel tuma. It's not makabel tuma, even though it's a box because it doesn't move. That's the halacha. V'chol teitz of dayat tuma, and it'll be a chatzitza. So, but amrulei, so they told him amrulei rabbanu l'rava. They told him v'azim de metaltelilei kibanach sefer Torah alivayu. But sometimes we carry it, even though the Torahs are in there. V'havilei metaltela mole v'reikam, and it's something that's carried empty or full. And therefore, it's not Hasul Lenachas. Because we move it around. So Amaleis, he said, oh, then you don't have an answer. Then I don't have an answer for you, because, Taka, you can't use that, you have to get something else. The Aron can't be, because that's the halacha, it's compared to a sack, that if it's something that you can carry around and move around, it's not Chotzeis Fatoma, and therefore, that wasn't an option for them in that shul. Okay, we'll stop over here, and Rabbi Rosny will be back in Birkas Hashem tomorrow.